Thank you. It's a successful attempt. Yes, your meeting with mathematician, but yes, I was around Landau Institute for some time, so I consider myself contaminated by physics. And what I will be discussing is a problem which probably some of you heard of and maybe know a lot about it, but I'll start from the very beginning. The problem is very interesting from both mathematics point of view, and they told me its own. Absolutely.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So this is a problem of what is called KPZ scaling, and I will be discussing new progress, which is based on paper, our joint paper with Jeremy Questel and Tom Alberts, all three are mathematicians, but it was published in PhysRef Letters, and where we discuss a concept of intermediate chaos disorder. But before I come to this, I would just describe the problem. So my co-authors here are Jeremy Questel and Tom Alberts from Toronto. And so I'll describe it maybe. There are several problems which lead to KPZ universality class and KPZ scalings and KPZ phenomena. KPZ, of course, stands for, in my talk, for Kadar, Parisi, Zhang, rather than Knizhnik, Polyakov, Zamolodchikov. It's a very unfortunate thing that KPZ uses in, people use it in two different senses.
Basically,
at the same conferences, you can have talks about KPZ, which are understood completely differently. But anyway, let me just start with a probabilistic description of what is the setting of directed polymers. So we consider random walk in d-dimensional lattice, and since it evolves in time, I would write it zd plus 1. So it's an integer lattice of dimension d plus 1. 1 stands for time, time will be discrete time, and d is a space dimension. For most of my talk, d will be 1, but I'll put it in more general thing. So this lattice is assumed to be disordered lattice, meaning that at every point of this lattice, zd plus 1, there is a random variable. There is a random potential living at every point. The potential is time dependent. So when you change time, potential changes. So if I take point here, xi, and x is space, I is time, it's a point at this lattice, then at every point we have a, I'll call it omega xi, this will be random potential sitting at this point. We'll assume that all these potentials are iid for all x belonging to zd, and all I will be from 0, 1, and so on, but let me, on one-dimensional lattice, assuming that I can be also negative, it doesn't matter. So this is a random field. At every point there is a random variable. They have joint distribution. We'll assume they're independent. So this is iid random variable, and it's not very much essential what is the probability distribution of this random variable. The beauty of the problem is it has huge universality, and basically I don't want to specify any properties of the probability, just anything more or less. For example, you can think they're Gaussian. You can think that they're uniformly distributed between minus 1 and 1, anything you like. And then you start, points start to move here. So point, so we have a path which starts at time 0, at point 0, and then it moves like a normal random walk. So it would be zd at time I equal to 0, and then lattice at I equal to 1, and so on. So we start here, and point jump to nearest neighbor, one of the nearest neighbors, maybe another nearest neighbor, and so on. So this is a path. And we consider path of a length n. So it will be gamma, will be path.
Time
goes down, but yeah, it's kind of more convenient than to go up to draw it. But time goes this direction.
Because it flow always goes down.
For example. And the passes of length n are not indicated, but n is fixed. And it will be asymptotic when n goes to infinity, but at the moment it's just fixed n. So n is fixed. And we consider these passes. And for this, every pass we can associate action of this path. This action also depends on I. It's just sum of the variables of this potential on the path. to the sum of omega gamma ii for I from 0 to n. Everything you accumulated when you go going down. And this action will be statistical weight, if you can imagine. It will write Gibbs distribution for the passes. All passes will have probability, so the pass will have probability distribution, and this will be polymer measure corresponding to time n for fixed realization of this randomness. This is fixed, so we consider quench situation. Randomness is fixed, and then we start our consider our process. We put omega here, meaning that we fix random potential. That probability distribution of this pass is equal to e to the minus beta action of the pass divided by partition function. So that is the Gibbs formula, which gives probability distribution passes. Now, beta is the endless temperature, of course. And then what I'm interested in, you can see the games you can play here is, you can consider positive beta, or you consider, or you consider beta equal to infinity, zero temperature regime. So in this situation, you have this probability distribution. In this situation, probability distribution will degenerate to the passes of smaller sections.
So where is elasticity of the polynomial?
Say it again?
Where is elasticity?
Elasticity comes from the fact that, well, first of all, you jump to the nearest neighbors. And this is kind of Laplacian type of thing.
Only to nearest.
Yeah, you jump. Yeah, I should have said that gamma I minus gamma I minus 1. So jump is always to nearest neighbor of the lattice. And that's where elasticity comes. Well, that, the fact that it's nearest neighbor doesn't matter, but you should not go very far away. I mean, maybe you can have about two steps, something like that. But that's important, thank you. And then you want to study what will be the probability distribution. So two basic questions. What is the probability distribution for the partition function? How it behaves, so then goes to infinity. And what are the properties of the polymer measure? How the polymer measure would look like? How this polymer will behave? Will it be diffusive, non-diffusive? This kind of thing. So we're interested in asymptotic behavior when n goes to infinity. And so basically, I must say that there's not much known about that problem. There's, on a rigorous level, not much is known. Although predictions are quite remarkable and universal in the case d equal to 1. In case d equal to 2 and 3, predictions are much less certain. So much less is known, but certain things are known here. And let me describe this thing. So first of all, this model might have two regimes. What is called weak disorder. And strong disorder.
It is
related to Burgers, of course. I would give another problem which pops up. The same problem, the same KPZ scale, the same object will pop up in different setting. I will be very soon. I'll tell you about. But at the moment, weak disorder and strong disorder. So what is the difference between them? So formally speaking, you can say the following. This partition function is quench partition function. We fix omega. You can also consider a new partition function. You can average with respect to omega. So basically, you can consider quench free energy, will be function of beta, which is limit when n goes to infinity of the logarithm of partition function divided by n. And this is quenched because omega is fixed. And this thing will not be random. It's easy to show. It will be a non-random function on beta, which is called quenched free energy. Or you can also discuss annealed free energy, which will be limit when n goes to infinity. And you first average with respect of omega, this thing, this will stand for averaging with respect of omega. Then you take logarithm and divide by n. There is inequality between these two. This is also non-random, of course, we average here. One is bigger than another, but it's not strict inequality. It's greater or equal than another.
Suppose the first one is independent of omega, is trivial?
It's not trivial, but it's easy. It's what is called, basically, it's sub-additive ergodic theorem. There is sub-additivity here, and always when you have sub-additivity, you have this property that the thing is non-random. You can take averaging here, it will be the same number, you can with probability one, doesn't matter. And so weak disorder happens basically when these two coincide. So weak disorder, when quenched is equal to annealed, And manifestation, another manifestation of this, when it happens, then you basically can say that your polymer will be diffusive. It also diffusion. Which means, for example, that if we take, say, final position of the path, what it means in particular, that if you take final position of the path and normalize it on square root of n, this converges in distribution to Gaussian distribution. So this is diffusive behavior. And then
whatever the probability distribution for omega may be.
Say it again.
Whatever omega may be.
So I said that omega here is IID, so identically distributed independent random variables. In principle, you can allow it to have dependence, not too strong dependence. As I said, you assume that the universality class is huge here. But I will be more specific about that. But basically, think that this is a collection of independent random variables.
I understand, but the details of the distribution.
You want to have finite number of moments for the thing. So basically, it's, I think it's enough to have four moments for everything I'm saying to be correct.
The first
I think four moments. Yeah.
Converge.
Yeah, but the mathematical statement actually proved when there are exponential moments. So you think that it's decay rather fast. And strong disorder, it's a case, again, formally, when they're not equal. But manifestation is rather dramatic. What happens here, it's not that your path gets diffusive or less diffusive. It's just localized. So the measure would have variance order one. In this case, you would expect that variance of the endpoint of the path will not be order n as a diffusive regime, will be order one. So basically, the path, this measure lives in certain corridor of rather narrow corridor of order one, but of course the measure would the path will travel somewhere, so it will be certain corridor, and so this corridor will be not very close to the origin, but it will be localized. It will be choosing particular things. So the probability distribution for the endpoint, you don't need to, I mean, if you, apart from shift, that it's shifted from out of zero, you don't need to normalize it to get limiting distribution. You have something here without any normalization. It's order one. And of course, the natural question you want to ask, how far you go? What is the ln? What is the order of the distance this path will travel?
But so it has a finite limit when it then goes to infinity.
It will
just subleading with respect to square root of n.
Okay, so what will happen later on, that the limit will exist after, well, yes, there is a limiting distribution for the position of the thing, but leave it alone for a moment.
You remember this question.
Yeah, I remember this question. So that is dichotomy between diffusion, when the path kind of spread on the distance of order square root of n, and this is normal diffusive behavior, or localization, which happens on certain distance, which we don't know yet, but we'll discuss it. Now, what is known mathematically here, that in dimension 1 and 2, you don't have weak disorder, it's always strong disorder. So in dimension 1 and 2, for all beta, as long as beta is, for any positive beta, you have only strong disorder. And in dimension starting from 3, there is a transition between weak disorder and strong disorder. So when beta are smaller than beta critical, you have weak disorder and diffusion. So basically, you can think that the potential is weak, not strong enough for the effect. If a beta greater than beta critical, this is strong result. So that's what is known mathematically. I don't know even physically, some more is known about the situation in dimension greater than 3. How far particle go, whether it's subdiffusive or it's super diffusive, it's not very well understood. Dimension 2 is always critical dimension. It's difficult to discuss. I'll skip it. I'll be mostly discussing dimension 1, where most beautiful things are happening, and where predictions are very clean, and where KPZ scalings are. Yes?
Could you comment on the relation this problem might have with Anderson rank line relation?
It is not Landers localization. Basically, it's two different. The word localization is the same, but I don't see any connection between them.
The dimensions are the same, the critical dimensions.
That's correct. Well, Anderson localization can be not only in dimension one. In dimension one, when you have. So in Anderson localization, your random potential is not time dependent. It is stationary in time. So you consider disordered one-dimensional lattice, and then you consider Schrödinger equation, and then you know that in dimension one, spectrum is pure point spectrum, and eigenfunctions are localized. That's one phenomenon. Here is completely different phenomena. The potential is time-dependent. It's changing over every time. So as far as I can see, I don't see connection. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think that the fact that pulse is localized is pretty mysterious fact, which is not what. Basically, there are not good explanations why in this situation the potential will win over entropy with such dramatic effect. Normally, you think that there's some kind of balance between one and another, but here basically potential wins, and pulse chooses particular, not pulse, but the whole polymer measure chooses particular kind of places, and it's very difficult to say where it will sit. So
am I right, Kostya, that in Anderson localization, if I allow my potential to change with time, I lose localization usually? For example, if I take my potential random in
time,
if it's smooth and
First of all, it's not very clear what is an eigenfunction when it's time when it's time dependent. It's not very clear what eigenfunction is. You have to be careful about that, because.
But I'm just asking how given.
No, but your operator will be time dependent, and
And I'm not asking about eigenfunction. I'm asking about the behavior of a given particle, whether it will drift away or will stay close. And I always thought that I just start destroying all these phase, delicate phases which you need for localization. And here it's like, really strange if you.
Well, it will drive me very far away from what I wanted to say. Okay.
See where you are.
And so I want to say about predictions about dimension one. And before I start with this prediction, I would say, or maybe I will say these predictions and then we'll comment further. So basically, I did this in two objects, I said, behavior of partition function and the behavior of the polymer measure itself. And so I will introduce several critical indices which characterize this thing. And I always forget what are the correct standard notations for the indices. Okay, so first partition function. So partition function, and now I'm talking about dimension one. Partition function, or logarithm of partition function, and that's also a simple statement. It's order n. And if you divide it by n, it converges to constant, to non-random constant. And this is again, this is what we discuss here, sub-additive ergodic theorem. So it behaves basically like constant depending on beta times n, plus fluctuations, right? So what you want to do, you want to subtract the non-random part of the logarithmic partition function, basically the mean value, and you want to normalize it. And so this normalization, and that is a prediction of the theory, that normalization will be n to the 1/3. So if you normalize it to n to the 1/3, then this thing has limiting distribution. It converges to limiting distribution, which is also known what will be a limiting distribution, what is assumed to be, what must be a limiting distribution here. It is what is called Tracy-Widom distribution. Tracy-Widom distribution, which arises in problem of random matrices, huge random matrices, GUE, a Gaussian unitary ensemble of random matrices, when n goes to infinity, that is a distribution which is characterized as the largest eigenvalue, how it fluctuates near the predicted average value. So that's one prediction. And that's one index which is called here, this is equal to 1/3 for KPZ.
I'm obsessively asked about Burbier's because I have a feeling that this Tracy-Widom distribution somehow must appear in Burbier's. I actually never
appears in Burbier's. It is Burbier's, of course. It's Tracy-Widom. It is related to Burbier's, and that's the connection. That's how I got interested in this problem for Burbier's equation with random forcing, and we'll see it in Larry. So.
Now, your statement, Tracy-Widom independently of beta?
Well, let me put here that I would normalize on something depending on beta to get particular distribution. Of course, you want to have variance matching here, but up to the normalization here, this will be one particular distribution, Tracy Williams distribution. In fact, there is a stronger statement, and quite a remarkable statement. You can consider problem when you allow your path to go not anywhere, with this called point to line. You allow to end up at any position in the line. But you can see the problem point to point. You can say, I want to sit my finite position be at point X, and consider all polymers which go to this point. So you just prescribe final position. Again, you will get partition function, depending on this final point. And then you will ask, so that will be partition function Znx omega. And then you will be interested in distribution of this, how it depends on x. Now you have a random process, because you use the same randomness for all different final positions of this particle. And you want to see what will happen. I will say what is expected here in a moment. But first I will say about the normalization of the end point of the polymer. So it is assumed, and that is a second polymer KPZ scaling, that the distance between the origin and the position of the path will be order n to the 2/3. So it's not square root of n, it's n to the 2/3, it's super diffusive.
It's all 1D strong disorder.
Only strong disorder, but it will be... Yeah. Okay, so basically it means the following, that if I take a position of the path, and final position of the path, and normalize it on n to the 2/3, that also converges to a limiting distribution. So this is a limit distribution of this thing. And finally, it is assumed that variance, so that is a average value of this thing, variance of the final point is order 1. And that is the third prediction, which we expect here. Now, I will comment on this in a moment. So basically, it says that natural scaling in X is n to the 2/3. Everything happens here in this scale when X n to the 2/3 from the origin. So I would rescale this X. I would put here n to the 2/3 Y. That is a position where I want to end up. So fix on Y. Anyway, now it's not in a lattice, it's y between minus infinity and plus infinity. Take point n to that y, integer point, and then consider partition function where you prescribe your path to go to that point. So that's partition function, nothing, the same partition function here, but it's not point to point.
Let me just understand the physics of what you're saying. So you're saying it means that my polymer will go much farther away than diffusion. Diffusion will go n 1/2. The polymer actually deviates n 2/3.
Yes.
But over that path, it would be very slow, slightly fluctuating.
Yeah, exactly.
So it will be a definite path, but a very, very far away.
Exactly.
So that's the message.
That's exactly what is there.
Yeah, so I would love say. It translated somehow into this. Yeah, but fluid mechanics.
Yeah. So what you expect here is that if you take logarithm of the thing, and you always have to take logarithm partition function, and you subtract here again thing proportional to n, and this will not change if you change this finite point, this will be the same thing, then what you'll have here, again you would normalize it on n to the 1/3, and I can put something depending beta here, then it converges. Now it cannot converge to a limiting distribution, it can converge to a process, because I'm varying one way. And this process, what is called Airy process. Airy process. This is a, better to say the following thing. Let me put it. It converges to Airy process minus x square. Sorry, minus y square. So, of course, if you take large y, it cannot be exactly the same partition function compared to y near the origin. So you have to pay price for being far away. And price will be this deterministic factor minus y squared. But if you subtract this minus y squared, the rest is Airy process, which is stationary process. It is a process which is stationary process depending on y. Random process, stationary, and one point distribution of this process, if you fix marginal distribution, fix a y equal to zero, that will be transmitted. But in fact, there is a correlation between different y's, and this is given by this AD process. And it's quite a remarkable fact that you have stationary process minus very well understood deterministic term.
Could you define this early process?
Say it again?
Could you define this early process and say what it has to do with early?
So this AD process, so basically you can consider this as a definition. What I'm saying here, forget about the word AD, consider the following fact, that if you take this thing and subtract y square, the limit will be stationary process. Mm-hmm. What is important for me, this is a stationary process. It happened that the stationary process, well, again, there is no mathematical proof, but this process is related to definition of every process coming from random matrices and other things, and it is related to AD functions, and this is rather massive.
Dot x exponent minus x cube on one side. That's basic. That's probably the link to AD, because Tracy Wigram has this asymptotic exponent minus x cube on one side of
AD
side.
Process can be defined by exact formula, of very complicated exact formula. They will not be eliminating at all. But I would give you another description of this process soon as a limiting process of something well understood. And that is the point of my talk. But in principle, the main message for me here is that up to the thing, which is because you have much less passes going to faraway point, and this is compensation for the number of passes, the rest is the statistics is the same. It doesn't matter you go to the origin or farther away, the statistics will be the same. That's stationarity of this process. Okay, now, as I said, there is a huge universality coming from the fact that I haven't said anything with this probability distribution, but even worse, if I consider beta equal to infinity, which means that I don't have polynomial measure, but in fact, I have just one pass of optimal action. Even in this case, all this prediction stands. Just partition function must be replaced, logarithmic partition function, by the action of the optimal pass. The action of the optimal pass will be constant time n with fluctuation order n to the 1/3, and the limit being Tracy Wigram. And the position of the action minimizing pass also would have the property that if you take this position divided by 2/3, it has limiting distribution the same as for beta positive. So it's an interesting case when you have universality going for all range of betas, even for zero temperature, it's the same universality.
So will you explain the 1/3 and the 2/3 or no?
I might say some explanation, but actually I would say there is no very convincing explanation. There are some explanation for that, but
even a hand waving explanation would be interesting.
I would give you hand waving explanation at the very end, but again, it's not the topic. Now, what I'll discuss later on is what is done in our paper. We introduced another regime, which is kind of between this strong disorder and weak disorder, and we call it intermittent disorder. And this regime allow you to see kind of transition between these two and allow you to kind of get your hands and construct certain objects. But before I do that, I want to say that this is not the only possibility to introduce the object I'm considering. Of course, for most of you, KPZ is something related to KPZ equation. And this is kind of interface growing. And this is another setting with this very same object appearing. Maybe I should say a couple of words about it. So it's assumed that the process, which is called ballistic aggregation, and which you play the following way. So consider a huge piece of one-dimensional lattice, size L, and L will be much larger than 1. Basically, you think that L is infinity. And then you start to put certain bricks in random positions in this thing. So you put some brick of finite height, and then you put another brick of finite height, and so on. They're coming every integer moment of time at random position. And then this brick has the property that if another brick comes to this position, meets the corner, it will stay. It would not go through. So you could think that your brick have a little wings, tiny wings here and here, which doesn't allow nearby brick to go through. So maybe next one would come here, maybe next one here, here, and so on. And finally, you get certain interface between empty space and space where you have bricks. This is a height function, and this height function is assumed to satisfy very similar properties to what I described here. So the height function would have the property that if I take it will behave like logarithm of partition function. If you subtract constant time n, which will grow linearly in time, then fluctuation will be n to the 1/3, and limiting distribution will be exactly the same as in this problem. And it is assumed, although it's not clear at all, that this interface is described by KPZ equation, which is ht minus 1/2 gradient h square is equal to mu Laplacian h plus white noise in x and time. And this is white noise in x and time, which you put here. So this is KPZ equation, which describes this interface growth, assumed to define this interface growth. Actually, I'm not sure this equation really describes this process, but this process is definitely in the same universality class.
So the average of the maximum height, or
there's no maximum height. You kind of go with.
Yeah, but this will scale like n to the 2/3.
N to the 2/3 will be scaling
deviation.
It's when you look at this interface, it grows linearly with n. You subtract this systematic growth, and the fluctuation of the surface around this thing will be n to the 1/3.
And 2/3 is what?
N to the 2/3, you don't see it immediately here. You have to go down in the process. So basically, when you have brick here, this has high because there is a chain of bricks coming to this one. And when you go this chain of bricks, this will be deviated n to the 2/3. Uh-huh. That's kind of connection. So this chain of bricks will be having like this random passes. But when you look at the final position of the surface, you can forget
you
that.
Can it,
say it again?
Okay. No, that's clear.
Okay. So that's a problem which also belongs to the same universality class, just to make it, maybe it's easier for some people who are more familiar. Yes.
Are all of the terms in that partial differential equation still relevant in the large n limits, or does one or other of them drop out?
Well, this equation is already written kind of in rescaled variables. This equation doesn't make a lot of sense mathematically. That's a big problem here. The problem, because you have white noise, that's not a problem. White noise, of course, is not regular in time. First of all, irregularity in time that doesn't matter. What causes problem that in X it's very singular. Again, white noise is fine. You can work with white noise, no problem. But when you take gradient and take square, that's what you're not allowed to do. You are not allowed to square things like white noise. And
I'm really asking about H. You can take the gradient of H and square it. And I'm wondering whether in the large n limits, the gradient of H squared and the Laplacian of H are of the same order in n or not.
Right. I don't know, but actually, I don't know. Uh-huh. But I would say the following. I'm not convinced that this term is always just present here, by the way. So maybe I would say maybe for this particular problem, maybe it's not relevant, this term. But having viscosity here, not
it's always relevant, otherwise you would have a singularity.
Yeah, but I mean, in fact, well, again, I don't want to go to this, but there is a paper we have written with Nechaev and company recently about ballistic aggregation, ballistic growth, where we show that the height can be described as the optimal action optimal path, very similar to that described here. And when you take optimal path, it means that temperature is already zero. And when temperature is zero, it basically means that viscosity is zero.
A single shock trajectory could be defined
by
pressure and viscosity, whatever.
Well, that's the point, yeah. So I'm not sure viscosity is here. But again, for the problem I'm discussing, presence viscosity or absence viscosity corresponds to the same asymptotic behavior. So it's not very much relevant. Okay, so let me move to this, to really what we did. So idea is the following. It's quite unpleasant that in dimension 1 and 2 there is no weak disorder. And the question is, can you create this weak disorder? So basically we want to rescale the action. And for this I would have to, maybe I would remove this. So idea is to consider probability distribution of the passes, which will be given by the following expression. It will be a partition function And here you have exponential or minus beta, but you will scale it, the action of the path. Scale it with n. So the effect of the action is too strong. I want to make it weaker. So that in this window, giving by this scaling n to the alpha, I will consider some interesting behavior. So basically, if you don't scale, you don't see any weak disorder. But I want to find such scaling that if alpha, if I will scale slightly stronger, that will be already fusion. And if I scale weaker, then it will be already kind of localization. So I want to see window where I can see transition between one and another. And in fact, it is rather easy to show, and you will see it maybe later on, it's not the difficult thing, that the correct scaling is n to the 1 fourth. So if you scale to n to the 1 fourth, then this is a critical scaling. So if alpha is greater than 1 to the 1 fourth, it will be diffusive behavior, it will be weak disorder. And if it's smaller, then it will be kind of localization. But interesting thing happens when alpha is equal to exactly 1 to n to the 1 fourth. And so I will not indicate this at 1 to 1 fourth here, so just I will consider this polymer measure now. And I want to look at this problem. And basically, you can think about this as a, well, this is already a small number, beta n to the 1 fourth. So you can kind of expand this, take power series expansion of this expression, and to see what will be relevant terms.
But in this case, homogeneous in time is broken, yeah?
It is?
Homogeneous in time is broken.
Yes, homogeneous in time is broken. But I, in any case, when I consider, yeah, but when I consider the polymer problem, I cannot define it for all times. It's always one parameter family of problems. I fix n, and then I have one problem. Big n, another problem, and so on. So there is no path which exists for infinite time. But you are right. By dividing by n to the 1 fourth, I just enforce. Yeah, the scaling depends on time you want to travel. And let me write down. I mean, this is rather simple calculation, and you will see immediately where n to the 1 fourth come from. You have here basically the following. So partition function will be given by the product sum over all passes, gamma. And here you have product of the terms of the order 1 minus beta n to the 1 fourth. And here you have omega gamma I. And this is I from 0 to n. So this is e to the minus beta n to the 1 fourth individual omega. If I take product, I would get exponential of the sum of these things. So that is the same expression for partition function you would see here. And then you want to expand this expression. So basically, you consider different points x. So you can point, you can consider here. Suppose you consider k point event, so you fixed x1 i1, x2 i2, and so on xk ik, right? And so you consider all things happening to when you fix this point. So what you write, you sum over all k from 1 to infinity, is how many events you fix, and then you have sum over all x1, xk on a lattice, and then you have sum of the times i1 less i2 and so on less than ik, n to 1, n to 0. And then here you will have the following expression. You have beta to the power k divided by n to the k over 4. And then you have omega x1 i1 omega xk ik, and then you get some of the passes which pass through this point at prescribed moments of time. But some of the passes basically correspond to normal standard random walks. They're not weighted, they're standard random walks. Actually, let me put here 1 over 2 to the n, so that some, it doesn't matter, but so that some of the passes have unit measure 1. So then I can write here, it will be probability of pass starting at 0, 0 to come to a point, so pass which started time zero at point zero at time I1 goes to point x1. And then probability of pass starting at I1 xx1 go to I2 x2, and so on. So this is product of Gaussian kernels, basically. Xk minus 1 xk, ik minus 1 ik. So that's expression which you get for partition function. And then you can rather easy to understand that what's going on here, that the right scaling in X and I is diffusion scaling.
Question, where is a restriction that only the nearest?
Yeah, because here I wrote Gaussian kernel, so I'm considering passes, right? All passes in the lattice. Yes. Now I prescribe concrete position x1, xk, and times i1, ik. And I consider only passes which at prescribed time goes to prescribed points. But these passes are standard random walk passes. So this is a Gaussian kernel of standard random walks. So the fact that this is heat kernel or Gaussian kernel comes from the fact that it is just nearest neighbors random walks. So this is just very simple expression.
This restriction is in the choice of your x, yeah?
Of my gamma here. No, these x are not nearest neighbor, just any position, because they're separated by huge amounts of time. Yeah. But I prescribe that I go from x1, that time I1, to x2, y2, and consider number of passes which connect these two points. This number of passes are these kernels. Okay? And so what you see here, that actually you have to, this is Gaussian kernel, so they have no standard, diffusion scaling. So time must be rescaled by n, and x might be rescaled, must be rescaled by square root of n. And then what you will have here, you will have expression of the following type, that you have these things, they will converge to white noise if you rescale it, because it's just independent random variables. You consider rescaled independent variables, this is white noise. So this expression will converge to integral.
Now, several point integration.
Yeah, multiple stochastic integral. Now this is going through the simplex t1 less than t2 less than tk less than 1 greater than 0. I rescale time, so it's not from 0 to n, but from 0 to 1. Those are rescaled times. I, so ti or tj is ij divided by n. And yj is xj divided by square root of n. And here you will have these Gaussian kernels, which will depend now on t1 x1 and t2 minus t1, sorry, here this is by y1, y2 minus y1, and so on. You have this k Gaussian kernels, tk minus tk minus 1, yk minus 1. And here you have just product of white noises of tj, yj, product over j. So that is an integral, stochastic integral, which is well-defined. There is a well, it is what's called Wiener chaos. This is a well-defined stochastic integral. These kernels are Gaussian kernels, they're fine. This is just white noises, and this is well-defined object. And this will be a well-defined object which will have limiting distribution. Now this m to the k to the 4, k to the 4 will scale, it's correct scaling in order to get this expression. You just go into the scaling, and then you have beta to the k here. And the whole thing will be sum, sum of the things over k from 0 to n to infinity, and this will be your partition function. Or limiting partition function, you're given by this expression. So here everything is convergent, everything is fine, and you can study the limiting distribution of this for this partition function. In fact, for this partition function, you don't even need to take a logarithm. This partition function would have limiting distribution itself. And it's order one. So it will have limiting distribution. And in fact, again, what you can also say that here I didn't say what will be the final position. The final position can be anywhere. But again, they can prescribe final position to be at some point y times square root of n. And then instead of one partition function, we have the whole process of partition functions. And you can again show that this process of partition function will be, here you can show it rigorously, this will be stationary process minus y square. Okay, so let me write it down.
How it would go with n?
Okay, so let me describe. So what's going on? Let me explain the picture to you. So it's already limit when n goes to infinity. It's already in limit when n goes to infinity converges to the thing.
So there is no time now. It's already
time is one. Time is scaled.
Time is one.
Time is one.
There is no diffusion.
Yeah. So this is concrete expression. This is a random variable. It has distribution. What I'm saying that I can do the same random variable, but saying that the last point after this yk, I go to the prescribed point y at time one, and that would be similar expression for partition function. Then it will be process, and I'm saying that this partition function. So if I take partition function and also prescribe final position b square root of y, this will converge to something which is stationary process depending. Well, too many A, but it's like A process, but it's not A process. It also depends on beta on Y, minus Y square. So that will be behavior of the thing when Y varies. And Y varies with this scaling, which is scaling, diffusive scaling. So what it means? It means the following. Yes, we can calculate probability distribution for this process. We can calculate this thing. But what is important, if you look, what will be the probability distribution of the pass? So these partition functions give me statistical weight of different endpoints. So that's exactly probability distribution of the endpoint of the polymer. And we see that it has square root of n.
Which is diffusive.
Scaling. However, probability distribution will not be Gaussian at all. And so what you see here, that if you take endpoint of the pass and divide it by square root of n, it will have certain density. And this density is given by this expression. The density will be given by E to the A beta Y minus Y square. You see, the density is random because it's a random process.
What is the relation? What is
Y
is the gamma?
It's an endpoint. It's gamma n over n. Yes, exactly. So Y is gamma n over square root of n. So the limiting, you don't have limiting distribution. So what it means, if you look after a very long time n, and you see what you see, certain density. If you look for longer time of some other time, you see another density. And the only thing which has limit is the probability distribution to see particular density. So the density is random. It's not Gaussian as we used to. It varies. I mean, if you change the environment, you change this density. But the limiting distribution of the densities is given. So in other words, you have some reservoir of densities, and you pick one density from the reservoir, and probability distribution with which you pick it has stationary distribution, which you can describe.
So it's a walk in a cooling environment. So the longer you go, the cooler your temperature. And then you see this type of behavior.
Well, yes, it is kind of, I would like to look at this as like a magnifying glass where we can see transition from diffusion to localization coming through these random densities, which get more and more localized. Now, why I'm saying that this is transition to area and stuff? Because we can show that probability distribution for this process we constructed converges to area process when beta goes to infinity. In fact, it's at the moment we can prove slightly less. We can prove that one point distribution. So if we take this process which we constructed at some point, it's stationary process, doesn't matter which point. This thing converges to Tracy rhythm when beta goes to infinity. So it's really, and on the other hand, after proper scaling, this thing converges to Gaussian when beta goes to zero. So this process kind of bridge between Gauss and Tracy rhythm. And that's what I think is mostly interesting. So it gives you some kind of, this you can construct, you can analyze, you can estimate, you can have your hand on this expression. And then if you really can convincingly do this limiting process, not only for one point distribution, for the whole of the area process, this explains how things are done. How you get this trace rhythm and why it's so universal. So another way to think about it is the following, that basically, I think that this is the following way, that we have kind of this beta going from zero to infinity. This is beta. And there are kind of unstable fixed point of randomization, which are given by this process. And you're moving like this when you apply a randomization operator. And then finally you get attracted to stable fixed point, which is corresponding to trace rhythm of randomization. This is not done, but that's a correct picture to look at it. That there is a randomization operator with one unstable direction, which is direction of our beta, and this convergence when beta goes infinity to stable one, which corresponds to trace rhythm. That's remained to be done.
So you mean still the trace rhythm distribution for a unitary ensemble?
For unitary ensemble of Gaussian, yeah. This is trace rhythm for unitary ensemble of Gaussian, Gaussian unitary ensemble. There is also trace rhythm for orthogonal ensemble, but it's related. It's related, but here you see it for unitary ensemble. And maybe I would also say a couple of words. So two things I want to do. I want to explain what is the probability distribution of this endpoint, how it's related to any process, and then to try to explain one third to third thing for you. So again, to see this probability distribution, you have to look at the ARI process, the limiting thing of ARI process. So what is the ARI process again? It is a stationary process, but remember we subtract y square. So partition function corresponding to different points look like, so this is my, will be my rescaled y, so we have stationary process minus y square, so it goes down, right? That's a graph of the ARI process minus y square. This is a random function. Now this function would have maximum somewhere. And of course, this maximum will be a particular point. I mean, you cannot have for continuous random function degenerate maximum. So that's exactly will be probability distribution. The probability distribution of this maximum of this process will be exactly probability distribution for the position of the thing rescaled by m to the third. Right? So things are localized in the position of maximum of this process. Now, if you consider, so that's for polymer measure. If you consider optimal path, you still have any process corresponding to optimal path, depending on target point. And then that's very precise. It's the maximum, of course, exactly. The maximum point, of course, will be position of the optimal path. So in any case, because of localization of the polymer measure, there is not much difference whether you consider action minimizing path or you can see the polymer measure. They have similar statistical properties. It's not exactly the same position. If you fix environment, the position of optimal path, action optimizing path, and position of the localization of the polymer measure will be different. They both will be a distance n to the third from the origin. They would have the same statistics when you normalize n to the third, but they will be two different points.
Just when I average over omega, it will be that it will come.
Yeah, probability distribution in omega will be the same.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But they will be two different points. Okay? And now about one third and two third. So I'll give you my favorite explanation. It's not everybody's favorite explanation, but
let's try with this one.
It's my talk, right?
Which means that there are no one good explanation. There are several explanations.
Well, there is no one very convincing, because predictions are not only one third and two third, but you have to also get this very precise probability distribution as a limiting point of this process. But anyway, so what I want to say is that look at the, so suppose I, so what we said so far the following, that if we consider the partition function, or if we consider the optimal path, it doesn't matter. So if you take logarithm of partition function, it will behave like a constant And suppose I take also some endpoint here, prescribe endpoint, say I will scale endpoint nz, scale it proportional to n, then this thing, the deterministic contribution of the thing will depend on this z. So for me it was just constant time n, but when you vary this point far away, that will affect the answer. So basically it behaves like constant depending, beta disappears here, but let beta be here, constant depending on z times n, plus fluctuations. Right? And this function is non-random function. It's how this constant depends on how far you go. Basically, this non-random function always looks like this. It is convex, and that is general fact. This function, C of Z, is non-random convex function. It's very difficult to prove that this is strictly convex, but it should be strictly convex, no doubt about that. Because of that, you can see the following. So assume it's strictly convex. Then I'm saying the following, that if I consider fluctuations of the partition function, they should be related to fluctuation of the optimal path or polymer measure. Because what it means is that I go to faraway point, so nz, and I can see the path going here. Right? Well, let me put it the following way. Consider optimal path going to anywhere in the line, right? Or even consider path going to this point zero. So I'm interested in these fluctuations, transversal fluctuation of this path, and I'm saying that if I go distance n to the tall from the origin, then it actually result the angle being not exactly zero. But since angle is not exactly zero, basically the systematic part of my partition function changes a little bit.
Okay, so
and it should be matching between this term and that term. It should be matching between fluctuation of partition function.
Your z is of order of n tau now.
Yeah, so what will be the angle? The angle will be n tau over n, right? That's angle. Angle is the same thing as z here. Z is an angle. So this is a small angle. But it will result in contribution to partition function will be square of this angle because of the quadratic dependence. And this should be of the same order as fluctuation of the action of the thing altogether. So the action will be constant time n plus fluctuation. Let me call this fluctuation n to the he, as previously. So you should have this relation. They should be of the same order. So it means that 2 tau should be equal to 1 plus he. Sorry, I'm wrong here. This is square of the angle, but remember that I multiply by n here. I multiply by n, and then it's equal to that. So the relation is 2 tau should be equal to 1 plus he.
Yeah, now it's 1.
So tau is 2/3, just to check that it's correct. And he is 1/3. So it's correct. It's called convexity relation. So they're not coming separately. There is a relation between transversal fluctuation of the optimal path or the polymer measure and fluctuation of the partition function.
Yep. You have not explained the 1/3?
Not yet. So it's one relation. But you quite rightly point out that in order to find it solves two variables, you have to have two equations, hopefully. So let me get another relation. So another relation would come from the following fact. Now let me play slightly different game. I will be starting not from the origin, but from, I allow myself to start from different point of the lattice and consider, say, optimal path or polymer measure. So polymer measure will depend whether I started here. So if I was starting always here.
You know, fixed end point?
End point is not fixed. Starting point is fixed. It was 0, 0, and now it will be, say, x0. Okay? And, of course, I want to see the following thing, that I denoted by n to the tau the transversal fluctuation. So the characteristic length here is n to the tau when interesting things are happening. Okay? And now I want to say the following, that if I consider the optimal action, starting, so I partition function, optimal action, coming from different points, and compare, so take point x and x plus 1. I'm claiming that the difference between, I consider function a n on x. And I'm saying the distance between difference between nx plus 1 and anx is a local random variable. Because this corresponds to, this passes would get together very soon. And basically the difference between them will depend only on your random potential in this neighborhood, in some small neighborhood of your space and time. So this is a local random variable. When you take, what is this? This is gradient of anx in x. This is a local random variable. And now if you compare, say, point a and x and point a and 0, which are far away from each other, this is sum of these gradients. And their local random variables, mean value is 0.
This is Gaussian.
So this should behave like square root of number of, so this should behave like square root of x. But this is your fluctuation. This is exactly fluctuation of your partition function. So this should be n to the he, and this should be equal to square root of n to the tau. And they should be of the same order. So you get another relation. He is equal to tau over 2. This 2 will make it.
Okay.
I'm done.
That last part was the
most clear.
The most illuminating. Yeah. Are there more questions?
Yes.
What about in two or higher dimensions? Are the 1/3 and the 2/3 the same, or?
No. It will be completely different. So probably, as usual, only in dimension 2, the exponents are so nice rational numbers. So I wouldn't expect nice rational numbers in any other dimension. But even universality of exponents is not clear in dimension 3, I believe. Yeah. So I don't know much, but I would, but definitely not 1/3 to 1/3. But still people would expect that the path is super diffusive. So it goes, it's still localized, as or in dimension 3 it should be localized only when bit is large enough, but it's localized, but on distance it's larger than square root of n. But even the universality of the exponent is not clear.
It's very interesting, I mean, the whole idea that apart from diffusion and localization, you can have something which goes far away faster than diffusion and then stay localized.
That's not the whole thing. It's not going faster. It just accumulates the distance over all the way. You see, if it will be going to some nice place and stay there, then it's easy to localize.
Okay, so I misunderstood you.
If you see, it's very difficult, and I don't know. Suppose I'm a particle and I want to find this optimal path. Uh-huh. I don't know what will be. It's very difficult to find this optimal path and where it will go. So there are some models where, you see, if your randomness will not depend on time, then there are certain good places for you to be on the lattice. You go to this place and stay there.
Here you always drift.
But things changes all the time. So, I mean, we are not staying in the same place. It's accumulated, it's a process which kind of integrated over all the time. And you kind of accumulate effects.
It's probably more relevant for turbulence programs that all these frozen disorders that people like, all these fancy scalings.
Yeah, I think it is. It is related.
Yeah, we can learn it. Okay. Yeah, that's